motherfucker. Open this shit up, open this shit up. This is the heaviest podcast. Let's fucking go.
What the fuck is up? It's the heaviest podcast, weekly worship of the altar of motherfucking radness. It is episode 183. Fucking fantastic. Gary Trelease, you're looking phenomenal.
Thanks, mate. I was thinking the same about you, actually. I like that hoodie. I mean, that fleece you're wearing. You look a little bit like Big Bird without the head on, but I like it.
I thought I lost this or threw it away. I thought Jolene just found it. It was in like a post-move box that hadn't been touched for a while. It was sort of a bit of an overzealous ASOS like purchase. And I thought potentially it would be all right. And then I got it. And then I thought, I look a bit ridiculous in it. It's quite an oversized bright yellow fleece.
Yeah, it's a striking.
It's incredibly warm, but I don't know if I've got the stones to take it down Big Tesco.
Well,
I'll present myself
great.
To you in it.
It looks great, mate. Don't worry.
I don't
about
know.
It.
I don't know
you're
if I could.
You're rocking it.
Thank you. I needed that, Gary. I'm glad you talked about it up front. I mean, it's really. Yeah, thank you.
Well, the second I saw you, I thought Big Bird without the head on, and I was like, right, I'm going to drop that in straight away.
Look at this bit, though, right? It's like, it doesn't go up, and it like sort of points out, but this is an extra large.
You know what
that
is?
So it's not that I've got a massive head.
No, you've got just got a, like a real hench neck, mate. You've got some corpse grinder energy going on, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Oh, it's probably all these bloody riffs, Gary, we've been listening to.
That's it. It's 183 episodes worth of riffs has meant that your neck is now the same width as your head.
Yeah. It's also the same width as my fucking gut. It's also so swings and roundabouts, really.
You know, the Lord taketh away, right?
Oh, mate, how are you? What's going on? What's going on in Garysville?
What's going on in Garysville? You can't cover up where I live now anymore, mate. It's too late. Giving it away to everybody. Mate, I'll tell you what. The other day, I think I messaged you, didn't I? I was driving down the street, and I live in like a really quiet little village full of old people. And I was driving down the street and I saw a guy walking down the street wearing a Mayhem t-shirt. I was like, fucking hell. I didn't know there were black metal fans in my village. What's going on?
Did you like give him the horns? Did you make any attempt?
Aren't Mayhem like super problematic? Aren't they one of the bands that were like the black circle that like to kill gay people, isn't that?
Oh fuck. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure. I know that there's like some, is it what they call Dark Throne and the other one? I don't know enough about Black Mirror. I shouldn't have brought this up, should I?
No, it's we're completely. We should just brush over it, Gary.
Let's
to be honest,
just move on. So, what have you been up
just
to? How's your life?
Move swiftly on. I'll tell you what, Gary. I had some phenomenal news today.
Yeah,
some phenomenal news. Next door. They've been revamping their house. The geezer doesn't live there. It's like somebody that doesn't live there. And he's slowly been surely, there's been various tradies entering and exiting the house, and they've been doing it up. They've done a lovely new garden. You'll remember a few months back where there was potentially the most wind there's ever been. And it fucking twatted my fence down. And I think our fence was fixed to this wall in such a way that I think the fence falling damaged the integrity of the wall. Anyway, there's a wall that's about to fall down in my garden. and I've been living on the edge of it potentially falling down for months, and it's just not fallen down. But I know it's going to happen at some point, and I know when it does happen, it's going to cost me a lot of fucking money.
Yeah.
When we first saw that it was falling down, we went and like clamored for the deed. So we're like, please, because you know, like one wall's yours and one wall's theirs.
You've got to establish that, like, it wasn't your wall.
Please make it not my wall. And and then we established that it indeed was our wall. So we've really just been waiting for it to finally fall down until we pull our fingers out and then inevitably have to pay loads of money for someone to come build us a wall. And apparently when I was out today, the next door neighbour, they just knocked the door, well, the builders, and said, oh, just so you know, tomorrow we're going to be doing some stuff and it's going to involve your garden a bit. We're going to be fixing this big fucking wall. So I've not even got to pay anything for it. I thought I was going to be like a couple of grand out of pocket because this fucking wall. But they're just sorting it. I don't know. I have no idea why. I mean, I know it's because he's selling the house. He's done like everything up in the house. And I guess maybe he just looks at it as a liability. And he's like, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but I'm very thankful to not having to buy a nice wall, which is, yeah, that's great news. I don't know how much a wall could cost. I mean, to me, it could be £2,000. That's in my head. I don't know what I thought a wall costs.
Nah, surely it's not that much money.
I don't know.
A bit of cement and some bricks. Nah, surely not.
No, the labour of a man, Gary. A man much more manly than you or I. A labourer. You know?
Yeah.
You've got to pay for his meal deal. Is Red Bull at the 6 a.m.
6 a.m. Two cans of Red Bull.
Yeah. It adds up, Gary. Those 6 a.m. Monster Ultras add up.
Two sausage baps at 10 a.m. An entire multi-pack of Mars bars. That was what the geezer who did the plastering at my house. I swear he had an entire pack of Mars bars every day. Like, that can't be good for anybody. Like, I like a chocolate bar, but that is not good for anybody.
So yeah, I'm relinquished from paying for a wall that I didn't want to have to pay for, and I'm thusly celebrating. Cheers.
Well deserved, mate. Well deserved. Congratulations to you on your acquiring of a free wall.
Yeah, I'm going to treasure this wall. I've never truly treasured a wall, Gary. I think that's my problem. I've never really treasured one. And now I will treasure a wall.
You need to play football against it. You need to sit on it like Humpty Dumpty. You need to really, like, really get the most out of this bad boy.
Yeah. It's going to be great. Me and this wall are going to have some times, I tell you.
Pink Floyd ain't got nothing on you. Jesus.
Yeah, other than that, Gary, not much going on in the old life. Very excited about Dead Space coming out really soon, the remake of Dead Space. That's kind of it, really.
Cool. Dead Space. I've played the original Dead Space. I tell you what, I do remember it scaring the shit out of me.
Oh, so good. Yeah, it was very, very good at jump scares. Very good at it.
It was the sort of game where, like, I didn't want to move into the next room because I was too scared of what might happen. Too scared of what was going to attack me in the next room and where it was going to sneak up on me from. I'm terrible at video games. We've established this very well. And yeah, I would just die constantly. But it was like exhausted. It's one of those games where, like, you probably don't need any, you don't need to do any exercise. Just play Dead Space because your heart rate is so hard.
Just wear one of them like see-through plastic things that you sweat in. But yeah. Wear a hoodie over the top and put Dead Space in.
Play Dead Space in a tracksuit wrapped in a bin bag like Rocky, and you'll be fine. Yeah. Oh man, I'm not. I dusted off the old PlayStation, started playing God of War.
And lovely.
I've been enjoying it. It is fun, but I'm fucking bad at it. I really am. I can't bring myself to notch it down to like the easiest.
How baked are you when you put it on though?
Oh no, I can't. I can't do that. I definitely can't do that. I'm bad enough at these things as it is, man. I can't do it like that. I just want to die. Like, I can't bear it. It's too intense. My brain can't handle pressing buttons at the right times in those situations.
Maybe you need to like disengage with these sort of like action heavy games and sort of really slide into just getting like, why don't you just get blazed and like try out No Man's Sky? Like just why don't you just go like ponder infinite universes for a bit. Like, I swear that's much more your speed than these like high octane action games.
Yeah,
you can't
maybe.
Get hold of.
Maybe.
That'd be really
you
cool.
You may be onto something. I've not
just
really explored
zoom,
many.
Just go and have a look at a galaxy for a bit, you know.
Yeah, I've never really explored many genres of video game. I tend to just stick to like third person, action adventure-y type things. But, and so yeah, maybe I need to. I can't handle first person perspective. You know that full well. You know I just can't. I tried to play COD many a time. I just can't do it. I haven't got the reaction times for a game like that. And so yeah, I don't know. No Man's Sky is in first person, isn't it? So I'm not sure if I can
is it?
Play it. I think so.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Yeah, so
I just know that you
can pretty
just
much
sort of
rule anything out that's first person.
Just remember when it like was announced and it was like, this is where you are now, and it like just zooms out and it's like zooms out and zooms out and zooms out and zooms out, and like all these things are actual little worlds that you can go and visit, and it's all fucking mental.
Yeah. Except they're like randomly generated loads of nonsense, although they fixed all that since then, haven't they?
Yeah, procedurally generated nonsense. That was
just
the game's tagline.
We want to be involved in that procedurally generated nonsense. That sounds really fun. Sounds like my idea of a good time.
That sounds like a mathcore record. Procedurally generated nonsense.
Yeah, we should probably like build an AI to write mathcore. I think we could. I think we'd have a lot of fun,
mate.
Yeah. Let's stop talking about video games that came out 10 years ago, maybe.
Did you ever play Cool Spot?
Are you familiar with this really awesome new game called Tetris? It's pretty cool.
Bloody Roar 2.
let's get
right,
into
usually
it,
we talk about stuff from this week, don't we? But
yeah.
On Friday, Gary, you stumbled across what is probably already the best EP of the year and will take some fucking beating. So it would be stupid for us to continue and even think about talking about any other risk before we get it, before we just really give this thing its dues.
We do. We just need to get it out there now as soon as we can. The band are called Underneath. They're a three-piece metallic hardcore band from Pittsburgh. This is their debut EP, which is enough to make me want to throw my guitar in a wood chipper. Fuck me. It's called Nothing Here Is Held Sacred, and it came out last week, January the 20th. So I got a shout out, a guy on Twitter, Ellis Heasley. He looks like he's a journalist for a few online outlets. He posted this on Twitter, and then Armed for Apocalypse commented on it, and that miraculously meant it ended up on my Twitter timeline. It's a tale as old as time, Sonny. A tale as old as time.
What a way.
I listened to about 5 seconds of it, and I was like, all right, shit, I'm in for something here. I'm in for something here. I whacked it into Discord. I whacked it on Facebook. I whacked it on Twitter almost immediately. And it definitely turned a few heads in the heaviest community. I listened to it about 5 times in a row, and my jaw was just on the deck the entire fucking time. I just couldn't believe it. I just was so like blown away by how fucking sick this EP is. Like, you see, Underneath, they're called Underneath. They're from Pittsburgh. You'd be well within your rights to assume straight away, oh, this is going to sound like Code Orange, isn't it? This is definitely going to sound like Code Orange. I mean, that makes total sense. A couple of people made the same comment in the Discord. It was written, it was out there. And I think once you get into it, this is just nothing. This is a completely different beast to that. A completely different beast. If I was to try and, I don't know, if I'm to try and like elevate a pitch this band's sound, For me, it's imagine if Chamber borrowed Knock Loose's gear. That's kind of where I'm at.
Hell,
although
yeah.
There's like, obviously, you know, you listen to this EP, and these guys are clearly scholars of all of my favourite kinds of heavy music. I mean, it's got like I say, the tone, the heft of a band like Knock Loose. It's got the tight technical snappiness and the kind of dynamic shifts of your Chambers of the world. It's got that fucking cult leader style, like bellowed vocal.
Yeah.
It's got down tempo aggression of a sort of a spite. you know, that kind of world of deathcore, you know, or like the dirgy guitar tone of the Acacia Strain. But then it's also got the kind of fun, bouncy side of the...
Yes.
The kind of early like period of when new metalcore, before we abbreviated it to new core, and it was basically bands that sound like Korn, you know, stuff like Sworn In and Villains, the kind of early swath of those kind of bands. There's just this like dark aggression and this moody atmosphere just all within this really fun package of just great bouncy riffs. Yes. This is just,
yes. Oh,
this is so much fun. I'm not bored of it at all. I'm still there. I'm still listening to it multiple times on the bounce. It's like a 15-18 minute EP, something like that.
It's 22 minutes, actually.
Oh, is it really? Oh, okay.
But it's just that fucking good that it feels like it lasts about 7 seconds.
Yeah, it just zooms by. Before you know it, you're on the last track. You're like, oh, man, I've got to put that on again. That's fucking... Let's go for it again, man. Like, this thing is just fucking insane, right?
It's unreal, mate. It's unreal. When you shared it, it was that Friday. And I finish work early on a Friday. I'll finish at 4:30. So, and then Jolene doesn't finish for like about an hour or so later. So I'm in my sort of like, at 4:30 on a Friday, I'm in sort of the happiest I am most, because, you know, the work week's ending. I'm just about to go and have a beer. I might already have a beer. I'm like, I know that I'm just about to embark on the weekend. And I also have this golden little
beer.
I have this sort of golden sort of hour and a half where I'm just like, the podcast is done for the week. That's all uploaded and out of the window. Like, that's all sorted on Thursday. So when it gets to that moment on Friday, about 4:30, I'm just like in peak, everything like is awesome mode. And then you slap that EP in my fucking ear holes. And Jesus Christ, I listened to it like 4 times on the bounce. It was absolutely unreal. It was such a, just a surprise, right? Just a huge, brilliant surprise that just leapt out and smashed me around the tits. It's so hard. It's got all the sort of brilliant belligerence of a Knock Loose record, but then there's so many extra elements, like you're saying. There's this really cool, like, I know you're saying like new core, but it's almost like these sort of like genty flourishes that I feel that are in there as well. It's the same sort of parts that we're sort of like talking about that are just amazing. You've got that really harsh low vocal that, I tell you what, that vocal performance really, really reminded me of like fucking like Ed Butcher on I Killed the Prom Queen, yeah. Songs for the Recently Deceased. Like, it, yeah, felt like that. It felt like that vocal attack over like a bouncy fucking nude up fucking Knock Loose record. And oh my god, it's just got everything. It's got so many, it's got so many sort of points that make it its own. It develops so much of its own character in just these, like, I think is it 6 tracks?
Might be six tracks,
yeah. But the first one's just like a little bit intro-y. It's nothing.
Yeah.
It's fucking unreal. Just the identity it carves for itself over the span of 22 minutes is incredible. It gets sort of really atmospheric and deathy on that 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There's sort of like black metal parts. There's all these different brilliant things coming in. And that that track, Those That Cheweth the Cud, or Cheweth Not the Cud, like, yeah, mate, that's like, they've got the bollocks on a debut EP to basically go into like a Fit for an Autopsy melody, like through the track, and then push, yeah, it into like a black metal zone. Like,
it's outrageous.
Just the nuts on display on this record are fucking bananas.
It's insane, man.
It's so good. I mean, a staggering caliber. I don't think you've been this excited about a band just from an EP than like you say, like the first like Chamber EP, like something, yeah, like that, you know? Like,
it's where
insane. You're just like, wow.
It's absolutely, wow, insane. The thing is, like, the band, they've got like a kind of, they've got that loose sort of free kind of sound that you get from a lot of the modern era of death metal bands, but compositionally everything is so like tight and snappy and like calculated. And for a band, yeah, to be able to corner both aspects of that kind of sound and nail both of them is something that every band doing this is trying to achieve. Like, every band who goes to Graphic Nature to record a record with Randy LaBeouf is trying to achieve that. That's what they're trying to get. You know, and we're talking about like the top tier of the underground metalcore scene when we say that, right? We're talking about like Boundaries, Vatican. They're the kind of chamber. They're the kind of bands that go and record there. And honestly, I genuinely believe that this EP stands toe to toe with all of those bands. And we're talking
100%.
About, I mean, I'm assuming based on seeing pictures of them that they're essentially like children. They're like, they can't be any older than 21, these guys. Like, they're really, really young. And they've just fucking killed it. Like, I really like how this has got a bit more darkness about it than quite a lot of those kind of things. Like, you know, the band that kept coming to my mind as I was listening to this EP was Lovely, Lovely God Complex.
Yes, dude.
That was just, I mean, I've listened to loads of God Complex in the last couple of days as well, because this EP just makes me think of that band, and they come to me kind of go hand in hand. It's just craving that sound, that like, that kind of thumpy Love style guitar tone, but just playing so much harder.
There's that bouncy
so
bit that's like ding 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 ding, which sounds just
hell.
Like that riff off the fucking Lotus Eater EP.
That, I mean, that was another band that I was kind of a bit nervous to bring up, because I don't want to put the negative connotations into people's minds, but absolutely, like, it's that I mean, that riff you're talking about in Those That Chew F Not the Cud, like, I've written it down in like in phonetically, but it's a dun 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 dun. It's so fucking fun. It's so fun. Like, it makes you want to fucking dance. Like, another thing that I was thinking of was like Cabal, like that kind of like thumpy hardness that just has this like swingy rhythm to it. Like, they take the filthiest, horriblest guitar tone you've ever heard, and then they just give everything a bit of a swing, and it just makes it all feel so fun. Like, mate, that song, there's not I mean, the whole EP is amazing, but that song is the one that you do kind of zero in on as being like a real the real kind of tent pole of the EP. Like, there's not a dull millisecond in it. Like, it's one of those things where I listen to it and I kind of think to myself, it was absolutely worthwhile to spend most of my childhood getting bullied for being a grunger to have music that I can listen to like this now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just so glad that I grew up. I had those hard times growing up as a grebo, because now I get to reap the benefits of it in my later years listening to bands that sound like this. Like, oh, there's so many great moments in this thing.
Eating Bugs, that track, opens up with the vocals, Sidewalks covered in fucking shit.
That's so, like, one of my favourite moments.
Such a hard open.
And the whole thing, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, when he just goes, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. Blah! Like, you just listen to that, you're like, fuck yeah, stick that up your fucking Periscope, Captain Nemo. Like, it's so, so fucking belligerent, and I love it. But yeah, Eating Bugs, man, like, there's that bit, there's like the really beefy breakdown, and then they do kind of subvert expectations by switching and moving into double time on the beat down, rather than like generally bands go the other way, right? They slow down, they beat down the beat down, but these guys, like, they just do these little things, and it's kind of like, you don't expect it, but then also it's the most satisfying thing that could possibly happen at the same time. Yeah. Oh, it's fucking sublime. They Will Kill You if They Have a Chance has got like that, the Robert Oppenheimer sample, I Am Become Death, Destroyer of Worlds, and like, I don't think I could think of a more apt sample for a band to use. Like, I think that like, if Christopher Nolan, you know, Christopher Nolan's making a movie about Robert Oppenheimer that comes out in the summer, well, he's made the movie already, comes out in the summer, and I kind of wish that this was the soundtrack when the A-bomb actually goes off. Like, I feel like it'd have a slightly different energy if that was the case. Like,
you never know, Gary.
Fantastic.
Send him a tweet.
You never know.
Like,
you
it's
never
not out
know.
Yet.
Maybe he's double up.
Late in the day cuts.
Yeah. He's just switching it up, and he's gone for a slightly different vibe on the old film score this time around. Like, just all breakdowns the whole way through. I'd watch the fuck out of that movie.
Release cut, mate.
But yeah, oh man, this EP is brilliant. And also, as a complete aside, but I sent you a screen grab of this, didn't I? If you go through their related artists, it's clearly just entirely heaviest driven, because it's got like Wathrush that we talked about last week, Burner, God Eater, Fawn Limbs, Sunflower. Like the list of related artists are clearly all just driven by people,
Ether Covered, Rotten in Dirt, Pale Lake, Burner.
That's it. It's all just members of the heaviest community driving who their related artists are, because obviously it just scrapes
Skin
what you
failure.
Listen to. Yeah, that's it, man.
It God just Eater as well. Dude, 100% it is. 100%.
Yeah, absolutely, mate.
It's
and
all you awesome
well.
Motherfuckers out there.
Yeah,
that is it.
100%. I love that as well.
The crossover of those bands doesn't exist anywhere else in our community.
Other than
there isn't people out there that don't listen to this podcast that also listen to Surface Wounds, Ether Coven, and God Eater. That just doesn't exist. That triangle of bands.
Exactly. And I love that. That's
well
like,
done,
that's
everyone.
That's got nothing to do
well
with
done.
The record. That just highlights how awesome.
And that Wathrush as well. Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
That's it, man. Like, but yeah, this is it's just a fucking breath of fresh air. This. I think I said it was it's the high watermark that bands have got to reach when it comes to releasing EPs this year.
100%. And I tell
and
you what, it's very nice to set
likes
a bar.
On Facebook. There's like they're so small, they're so new, they're so everything is just early, but if this is where they start, like where are they going to end up? Like I can't wait to find out. Like I feel like after listening to this, the same way that I felt after the first time I heard The Gospel by Knock Loose, and you were just like, wow, there's a band that are going to do things. And listening to Underneath, I just feel the same way, man. This is so fucking sick.
Incredible. This is like buy low, sell high. If bands were like were on the FTSE 100, yep. mate.
On the NASDAQ of bands, by now, before they launch their IPO, these guys are going to go far. They're called Underneath, and the EP is called Nothing Here Is Held Sacred. Get out there and listen to it. Buy it on Bandcamp. Give them a few quid, because they deserve it. Because
yeah, chuck them the bucks,
dude. This shit's outrageous.
Chuck them the fucking bucks. Hell yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, sick. So we usually wouldn't start with an EP, but that one was just too good not to. But
it's
let's get
stupid
into,
if we didn't.
It would be silly. It would be silly. We've just got to get out there up front. You know, the general statistics would say that like listeners kind of lose concentration after a certain amount of time. So while we have you, everybody in paying the most attention, we have to give you the big shit underneath, man. Fucking amazing. But we're going to talk about an album by a band called Grief Symposium. They're a 5-piece black and death metal band from the UK. Their new album is called In the Absence of Light, and it's released on Friday the 27th of January through Church Road Records. So at first, when I looked at this, I was kind of like, who the fuck do these guys think they are? They've basically stolen the name of the best Misery Signals album. Yeah, I said it. Absent Light's the best Misery Signals album. Fight me. and I had a bit of what I would consider to be a bit of a sunny mood, which is where I like take a weird exception to a band for a really weird reason. Like, nah, fuck this band. Their logo's rubbish. Or nah, I'm not listening to this band because they've got terrible haircuts. Like,
I love dying on small hills. I love
it. Yeah, you absolutely do. And I was there, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't think I could get into a band who essentially just ripped off Misery Signals in their album title. But about 2 minutes in, I was rationalizing it to myself. I was like, no, it's not exactly the same name, is it? Like, it's okay. Maybe it's a homage. I don't know. They don't sound like Misery Signals, so I'm sure it's okay. Maybe they don't even know who Misery Signals are, because this album is fucking delightful. It's so fucking cool. The counterbalance of what they do, this like loads of big riffs, loads of like kind of incidental riffy fun, but then they put it up against this like really arcane, dramatic, moody, like blackened, doomy stuff at the same time. And like the way that they blend it together, just it just works so fucking well. And it's mad. Like a lot of the time,
it's
you
like
to
a CV.
Like,
this record, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's like a CV.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely
look,
is.
Look, we can do sort of hardcore moments. We can make so that their tagline is monolithic. Monolithic death, which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, there's a few, and there was kind of like within the notes from Church Road, they talked about it as dark metal, not black metal, dark metal. And I feel like that's quite an important distinction because, you know, they do black metal kind of vibes every now and then. They aren't against like doing some scratchy tremolo and blast beats but also they'll do stuff that's like thrash metal or something as well. Like they're not scared to just do a bit of everything and they'll squeeze it into the same song sometimes. Like it's insane.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting record, isn't it?
It's a really interesting listen. It's really diverse. It's got so many different sort of accents throughout it. It's all very much dark and horrible, and you know they could definitely all be wearing hoods on the album cover, but then yeah. You know, like it's definitely got that. I think where you said arcane, that's a perfect word for what the sort of the lion's share of this is. But then there's so many real sort of like hardcore infused moments. There's like, you know, it's like Black and Death you can two-step to in parts of it, which is fucking outrageous. That's a fantastic crossover. Temple of Decay, mate. Loads of like two-step action and grooves in there. Shadow of the Monarch like transcends into this almost like film score thing. You know, then you have like after sort of 9 minutes, you go straight into Veil of Transformation, which is like this sort of earworm, death riff, worship, loads of gloom. Like there is just so many different flavors, like I say, on this thing, man. Sort of grungy, industrial, evil moments as well that like erupt in this brilliant riff. There is a huge amount going on in this record. I really appreciate their sort of commitment to expansive songwriting. They really do twist and turn throughout the tracks. Like it's the heavy moments in one track might be equally as heavy but completely different, a completely different type of heavy track to track,
like completely different reasons. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's really really cool.
And there's so much to like praise on this album. Like I love the production choices. I really love how the drums cut through. Like they're so lovely. Like every single snare hit is really clean. Even when you're like da 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 da, really hit, really getting in there, rattling fast. They're always really nice. Every single kick flourish, you know, like it kind of sounds as you listen to it like their drummer has probably got a bit more of a hardcore type background, and like he joins a band that are much more coming from a much more sort of traditional metal world, and that fusion comes together to create something really interesting. Like this is a weird comparison, but kind of makes me think of like, you know, 4 Year Strong, how they're like a pop punk band, but their drummer's so metal that it makes their music have a completely different vibe to any other band within their genre. Like this is just, it just works in a really interesting different way, the way that they do things. Like they're not kind of trapped within the confines of what's expected of them. Like
yeah,
there was a quote I read from the vocalist. It said something like, "We seek to bring darkness of a different kind to our death metal," and like that absolutely rings true when you get these like big doomy kind of Interama sort of Candlemass type epic doom metal moments that they throw in, you know, and they'll do something really odd. Like, I mean, we'll probably have to talk about the last song separately, but like, you know, there's that bit where in like the Amber Kiss of the Sun, where there's that big sort of monologue. The guy kind of sounds like John Lennon doing this monologue, doesn't he? Like, and it's like, it's these moves that they make, like going from a two-step moment to a spoken word ambient section in Among Dead Gods. And it works, you know, you're there and you're brought along with it, and they can do stuff that's really doomy and introspective, but then they can also write a really catchy riff. Like I've had that down and down and I've had that riff stuck in my head so bad in the last week while we've been prepping for today. Like they can do stuff like that. And, you know, most bands who play in the doomy world aren't trying to write hooks, are they? They're not. They're just, hooks aren't really what that, no. You know, like a Cult of Luna type band aren't trying to put hooks together. But Groove Symposium, maybe not even trying to, but they do anyway. Like, it just kind of happens. And it's amazing to have an album that can be an earworm, but then also like really draw you in and expand on stuff the way that they do. Like, it's an achievement. Like, this is a fucking really cool record. I can see why Church Road picked him up, because that's kind of these days, that's like Church Road's kind of modus operandi at this point, isn't it? It's like looking for the bands that are just hitting a little bit different. Just, you know, they're part of a scene, but they're also not like stuck in that scene. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like they could play like a huge amount of bills, like just off the back of this. So it's sort of different things they go through on this record. Like, this is their first record, right?
Yeah, it is. I think they've been a band and they've been around for quite a while, but this is their debut album.
Which also is fucking really cool. Like, their like commitment to like just having loads of really interesting ideas is really, really cool. Like, as a proper debut, this is super, super exciting. Like, so many fucking wicked ideas smashed to fuck. It all is really, really evil and maintains really like a singular identity through it, like through its darkness. The sort of darkness is sort of the through line, I guess. Whether it be going real fucking doomy as all hell and esoteric, or like, you know, two-stepping your tits off in Temple of Decay, it's very much Grief Symposium as a whole. But yeah, it's just fucking great. Like, this is, you know, black and death metal always is like something that has a real sort of ceremony about it. These sort of grandiose sort of gestures throughout the record, and they chuck all of that in as well as everything else, and it just comes out fantastic. It's really fucking great. I don't know if I like the last track though.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. What do you reckon? Because it is. You get to the end of the record, and then it's 15 minutes of this like instrumental track, which of its own is like interesting. I mean, it's got loads of different places that it moves to throughout it, but I don't know how necessary it is. I don't know how necessary it is on like a debut release to pop that in there. You know what? What are you thinking about it?
I'm kind of in the same place as you, like. I mean, all power to them. They've made a decision and they've committed to it really, really hard by writing an almost 20-minute track that is like that one is. But that's not the part of this record that I'm excited about, for sure. Like,
that's true. Yeah,
I'm way more invested in when they're like really experimenting and messing around, but you know, like, just when they're fucking swinging for the fences with what they're doing. And then when that last track, like, if it was like 5 minutes, if it was 10 minutes, maybe it would be cool, like an interesting way to end the record, but it keeps going a bit longer than I really wanted it to.
Yeah, true. If it was truncated, it might be a bit more impactful.
Yeah, because, I mean, they do drop stuff, like I was saying, like Amber Kiss of the Sun, that's got similar vibes, but, you know, it settles in, it's settled in between a couple of, like, really fire, like, really riffy tracks, and, like, it has, the record does kind of have a bit of a, like, here's a hard one, here's a mellow one, here's a hard one, here's a mellow one, and then, like, I don't know, maybe they just overcommit to it a little bit on that last song, but, like, I don't. It hasn't spoiled the record for me at all. It hasn't spoiled the record.
No, absolutely.
I'm still fully on board with the record. I still think it's a fucking really, really great piece of work.
Yeah, yeah. More power to them, I guess, for being creative and having chucking something in there.
Yeah, respect. Nothing but respect from us over here. Like,
yeah.
This is a fucking
mate.
Really
fucking
cool thing.
Great record. Really cool record. Like, you know, it's cool. Where are they from? They're from England.
They've been all over the shop. They're definitely from the UK. I was trying to pinpoint down more specifically, and the closest I could find was it said on their Twitter that they're from East Anglia, but that could mean, and it could be from Norwich, they could be from, I don't know. They're from farmer country. Let's just do it. Let's just say that's where they're from. But yeah, they're a UK band, and yeah, they're fucking cool. And, you know.
Yeah. As a, like a throwing your hat in the ring on like, you know, quite a hefty genre. Like, this is fucking impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely, impressive is definitely the word. Yeah, the band are called Grief Symposium and the record is called In the Absence of Light. It's banging. It's fucking banging. Give it a go.
Another EP, Gary.
Yeah, we haven't done any news this week because the news is Jesus Peace have announced an album, but we've already talked loads about that band this, in the last few weeks. So, you know, we'll talk about the album when it comes. And then Viscera have announced they're releasing a new album. But the single was a song that came out in April last year. So we've already lived with the song for quite a long time. But I'm very excited about the prospect of a new Viscera record too. Looking forward to that.
I think there's
going to
be a Viscera single tomorrow or Friday.
Oh, okay. That's cool. Well, right now.
Because they put a little thing called? Up.
Sungazer, I think, was the song that they released like as a standalone.
Midnight 22nd of January, Rats with Wings was the hashtag. So it looks like there's going to be a lovely bit of Viscera for people to listen to Friday morning.
Cool. Well, yeah. People who've listened to the show for a while know that we fucking love that band. And we really love what they do, so I'm looking forward to hearing new shit. But yeah, let's talk about another EP, man. We're going mad this week. We're talking about four records, like lunatics.
Whoa.
Let's just go. The next record comes from a band called Wind Chimes. Wind Chimes are a four-piece black metal come metalcore band from Butler, Pennsylvania. This is their new EP. It's called Frantically Grasping at Intangible Hands. And it comes out on the 28th of January. And I believe it's been released independently. So Wind Chimes are a band that we were really, really excited about when they released their last EP, Enervation, from 2020. We hadn't really heard anything that did this at that point, had we? Hadn't really heard any bands that blended black metal and like old school metallic hardcore in the way that they had. It was a kind of a new thing, and the style compositions like seamlessly blended together really got us like fucking jazzed up, didn't it? And so the prospect of a new release from these guys was something really exciting to us. And when I first listened to this EP, like, I'll be honest, it wasn't what I was expecting. I was quite...
No, it caught me off guard.
Yeah, I was quite kind of... I probably was shocked, actually. I was a bit like, oh, okay, this is not what I was expecting to hear. It's so much more sort of considered than I expected. It's so much, like, I kind of figured that another EP would just be, like, more, you know, more riffs with like hard black metal vocals, more like breakdowns and blast beats. Like, it's much more, it leans much more into the kind of eeriness and the mystery of black metal, doesn't it?
Yeah. They've really found like an interesting pace on this record. There's like a lot of space. It's got a real sort of trudging pace, and you know, the black metal highs in this sort of trudging pace that's almost got this sort of like post-metal energy, but it's like, really atmospheric. And the production sort of reminds me of like either like the Kardashev record or the Wolf King record. It felt like that they were the sort of like touch points for the sound. It's really cool. Like, I love how the vocals go between like the really shrieking, brilliant like highs and then these awesome like deathy lows. Like,
yeah, there's so much phlegm in those highs, isn't
there? Yes, absolutely.
I love it. Like, really, really like raspy, and they come off brilliant. And I think like the way that they've chosen to attack this sound and the way that they've like lent into the atmosphere and stuff and making it feel a bit more unsettling and a bit more uncomfortable, I think has really benefited those vocals, really pushed them more into the fore. And
when you give those really gritty highs like a lot of space, they just work so well, don't they? Like, when you could just really hear them, when it's just that and the fucking like chugs, and there's just just filling up a fucking cathedral with these like, horrible shrieks. I love it.
It does. And it's like soaked in reverb. So it does feel like the whole thing was like recorded in a church. Like it's got that like really sort of echoey, like you were saying, spacious kind of feel to it. Like, and it's fucking cool. It's fucking cool. It's taken me a while to get used to it.
Yeah.
Definitely took me a while to get used to it, but it's fucking cool.
It's really interesting as an EP. Like, there's almost like the amount of ideas that could be applied to an album, but just sort of condensed into an EP. Like, you've got this, the opening track comes out, Wrath of Religious Love, and then you go into which is the title track, Frantically Grasping. It comes out, there's like a female sung vocal that starts, and then it weaves in their own sound, and they push out to this, like, really cool. I know I've already talked about Fit for an Autopsy once on this podcast, but again, that track, Frantically Grasping, when it sort of builds and it gets into this riff, almost reminds me of the like the chorus riff from fucking like Black Mammoth.
Yeah.
That part in that track made me think of Black Mammoth, and that's absolutely one of the biggest compliments I could pay anything. So please take that as a compliment.
Yeah, there's like a militaristic rhythm to that, isn't there? Yeah, for sure.
So you've got like all these different ideas already, then you get into the third track and you've got like this sort of black metal almost meets post-hardcore vibe going on, which is really interesting. There's like there's this moment of like vocal delivery that like was giving me like bare fucking like La Disputes. Then it comes in with like the death metal vocals and then back to the black metal vocals. Like there's a real sort of vocal acrobatic going on throughout this, which is fucking awesome. The amount of twisting and turning throughout this thing. And I mean, you know, it's only an EP. It's like 25 minutes long. And the single track, She Begs, is probably the most sort of straightforward, right? That's the one
that's kind of
chompy riffs.
Yeah. Harkening more into what I was expecting from the whole thing. Yeah.
Big chompy riffs and fucking like really cool lows. Like it's interesting when you hear the full EP like in light of that, because that it's really interesting. I think that's why it sort of took us off guard, because you would think it's a little bit more you think you know what you're in for, you think potentially it's a bit more straightforward than what you get when you get the EP, and the EP's just got ideas fucking coming out of its ass, mate. It's wicked. Like,
yeah, when I listen to She Begs, I kind of I listen to it and I feel like, oh, these guys really, really dug the Blood Moon by Converge. Like, it's got that like post metal being played by a hardcore band like feel to it, and it works so well. Like, I just love the way that like there's the section where there's really like the really classic like tremolo like reverby guitar riff. And he does that really like low guttural vocal over the top of it, and the way that they kind of interplay with each other, it works so well. It's a really interesting effect. And like, if this EP to me, like, it feels like a stepping stone to something that's really gonna, like, the next thing that you hear from Wind Chimes is gonna be like, you know, they've kind of done a lot of experimenting on this EP, and the next thing that they do is going to be like, right, we know from the EP what we really think works, what maybe doesn't work quite as well. You know, we've tried all of these things, and we're going to, and I can't wait to see, like, I want to see them do a full length, because like, there's so many ideas on this. Maybe there's too many ideas for the amount of time.
Do you know
it
what?
Lasts, possibly.
Yeah, I think potentially the amount of experimentation on this might almost be to the release's detriment, but absolutely not to the band's development.
No.
Like them getting this out and figuring it out, like, and doing all those ideas, like, this is absolutely going to serve them to make just a really fucking exciting album. Like,
yeah,
they've got so many cool ideas that they play around with in this thing that it might feel like less cohesive, but fucking hell, like, they're, when they get it right, they get it fucking right.
That's the thing, isn't it? That's the thing, is as soon as they lock in, like, you're just like, yes, like, this is almost like an EP equivalent of that patch of wall when you're choosing what paint you want to, what color you want to make a new room, you know, and you've got like blobs of paint of the different colours, and you let them dry, and you look at them, and you look at it, and you're like, that on its own is experimentation, but that room's going to look fucking sick when you pick a colour and you paint the whole thing. That room's going to look fucking amazing because you've taken your time to figure it out. You've not just gone to the shop and gone, yeah, that'll do, and slapped it on the walls. You know what I mean? Like, I'm really like this EP, while I'm not like absolutely head over heels over the final product, I'm like absolutely head over heels with Wind Chimes as a band, and I can't wait to see where they go.
Yeah, definitely. Super interesting, super like, yeah, ambitious. I think I said ambitious already on the side, but this is ambitious. Yeah. It's incredibly ambitious. This is like putting them into really, really interesting territory. Interesting territory where they could like play with like a hardcore band, and or they could also like be on like an Amon Ra bill. Like, you know, like it's fucking really, really cool.
Yeah, and then like the last track, Nothing New, that's like a really, it's ironic it's called Nothing New when it's such a new idea for the guys, but like that to me, like I've got so much respect for how like how much they lay themselves out, like it's so emotionally raw, and like that, just doing that, just getting up in the studio and being like, I'm gonna do this, must take a fucking bottle. I'd never be able to do it. I just know I'd be like too inside my head, and I'd be like thinking so much about, oh, but like, and he just fucking goes for it, and he just lays his emotions out there, and it's fucking cool. Like,
you know, that track reminds me, like, it makes me think of like something like Meth the band might do.
I thought like, exactly the same. Meth, like, was like,
it
really,
sounds like, you know, like Listener lost his mind or something. Yeah. Like, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
Listener having an episode. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, man. Like, this is such an exciting prospect. Wind Chimes. Mark, I mean, you need to buy. These guys are even better to invest in. Like, the next, after you've put some money into underneath, the next thing you want to put some money in is Wind Chimes, because these guys are gonna hit it, and everyone's gonna be like, oh, have you heard of the band Wind Chimes? You'll be able to go, yeah, cool, I've fucking heard of Wind Chimes. Who do you think you are?
Of course I am. You
can't,
man,
catch me out, son. I've heard of this band already. Fuck you. Like, these guys are gonna they're gonna take this sound and this thing places, because they've got such a signature sound, they've got such a unique vibe that I've not heard any of, and even more so now than they did before. I would have said that before after the last EP, but even more so now, and there's nobody out there. You know, we've talked about other bands, you know, like tail end of last year we talked about Surface Wounds, and like the elements of Surface Wounds are quite similar, but the final product is completely different, and like Wind Chimes are, yeah, they're something to look forward to.
Very much, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Fucking quality EP, mate.
Yeah, fuck yeah. The band, yeah, they're called Wind Chimes, and the EP's called Frantically Grasping at Intangible Hands. The 28th is Saturday, not Friday. It comes out on Saturday, so you've got an extra day to wait for it. But
cheeky. Yeah,
look forward to that one. Amazing. And then we've got one more. We've got another album to talk about, and this one, you kind of snuck it in last minute. And it's quite exciting, really. First, let's say the band are called Anachronism. They're a four-piece dissonant death metal band from Switzerland. Their new album is called Meanders, and it comes out on the 27th of January through Unorthodox Emanations. This is their third record, so I really should have been on this one sooner than we have, but what can you do? We do try really hard to stay on top of all the coolest, newest happenings in heavy music. But lucky for us, we have an awesome community of heaviists, one of which is Nathan, who is a fucking legend. And he dropped this one into our Discord, and, you know, he's always recommending amazing bands. He was the one who recommended Wathrosh to you last week, right?
He was, mate. He was. Fucking, he's on it,
mate. If we got paid for this, we'd owe him a cut, right? But we don't, so sorry, Nate. But this is fucking on another planet of, like,
this
quality.
Is
this is like fucking brilliant. Like, when I was listening to it, I kept thinking Coma Cluster Void. Like, Coma Cluster Void, like a motherfucker. Like, if you ever dug that band, then I think you're really going to get a lot out of Anachronism. Obviously, you know, they play in that same world of dissonance, you know, atonality and chaos. But the thing that makes that, you know, makes them different to some of the other bands that we talked about from this sort of dissonant scene is they always maintain this like weightiness and this real thick texture to their riffs. You know, there's kind of like, there's kind of two worlds of dissonance. There's the sort of off-kilter lead and spidery guitar type, you know, like Ulcerate, that kind of thing. The much more like we create dissonance by playing playing notes that aren't technically meant to be played together at the same time. That's how you create dissonance. That's a, you know, a little music lesson for everybody there. That was like, that was so remedial music lesson. You wouldn't even believe. But there's just something. There's like that, and then there's the chunky, thick, just low-tuned, low-end, and like Anachronism can do both of those things, but they do live more in that like dense, oppressive style. And I think if I was to kind of choose which kind of end of dissonant death metal I like better, it's this end by a long way. And this is like, this is a bit of me, man. This is fucking cool as shit.
Yeah, man. This I had to like email this band as soon as I heard this record. I had to email the band and fucking get the record off them. Managed to get it off them really quickly. So thank you for that. If you're listening, yeah. Anachronism, you absolute appreciate fucking it. Heroes. It's fucking brilliant. It's just this really interesting technical swirling dissonance. And then there's also these really interesting, like serene but dissonant moments. Like there's so much, like the dissonant is very much at the forefront, like, you know, but they have a real commitment to sort of like resolving melodies in a really satisfying way. Like a lot of stuff will sort of let that go, like an Imperial Triumphant. They might not sort of resolve it in the way that you would want, but these guys, they, yeah, just the technical dissonance on display here is fucking beautiful. These sort of lofty, loose, but technical, jazzy sections. Like, there's moments that would take a lot of bands sort of 4, 5, 6 minutes to build to these parts, but this thing is broken down. It's like 8 tracks that are all a normal band's track length.
Yeah.
You don't look at it and go, oh, I know that's like a disso band, because it's like, they're like 3.5, 4 minutes long. They get right to it. There's a real sort of like math rock injection that I feel keeps it quite uplifting, which is really, really cool. Like, it is oddly uplifting for like a dissonant death metal record. A lot of this stuff is sort of nauseating and punishing and you know, like trying to grab a hold of smoke, and that's what we love about it some of the times. But there's a real sort of like whimsical joy to this sometimes, and it's really interesting. Loads of great uses of melody. It's just fucking brilliant. Love
it. Man, I absolutely agree, because like a lot of the bands from this scene feel like it's necessary to do an hour-long album of like 8-10 minute songs to get their point across. But like Anachronism here have clearly proven that isn't necessary. Like, they've just, it's so snappy. And I think you say math rock, I think what you really mean is jazz. There's a lot of like jazz flourish going on, especially in the way that the drums are played. Like, there's a real jazzy like free form. Like, if you look on their Bandcamp, it says that like it says drums performed and improvised by, like, it's got that, there's a looseness to it, but also you can't be loose with a style of music like this, because it's so difficult. You got to stay together, and it must be so difficult to like to stay a cohesive unit when you're playing this kind of music. But when you're that, if you're that gifted on your instrument, then you can make it work, and they really fucking do. And so I've got to shout out the bass. Like, the bass tone on this is so fucking chonky. Like, the thing I always think whenever I hear a bass tone like this, I always think of the video for Other Side by the Red Hot Chili Peppers, where Flea is playing like telegraph cables as his bass. do you know the video I'm talking about? And like, this is like that. The bass tone is an absolute monster. It's so thick and like and kind of blunt. Like, it's perfect. It's perfect to like fill out that bottom end of what Anachronism are doing, and the whole thing just becomes like a dissonant steamroller. Like, it's just gonna squash you, and it's amazing. And also, want to shout out the vocalist Lisa. She's like, this is only her second, I think this is only her second record on vocals, and she also plays guitar as well, which, like, fair play, you could do that live, bloody hell. But like, the music is so full on that if you then also had like a really full on vocal performance on top of it, your brain would just drip out of your ears, wouldn't it? Like, it'd just be too much. So instead she just goes for this like maximum brute force, like ignorant vocal performance, and it works so fucking well with the sound of this band. It's absolutely fucking brilliant. And like, I think one of the bands in this scene that are kind of seen as like the higher tier is like Artificial Brain. And I know that you didn't necessarily get on so well with the last Artificial Brain album, and I think that quite a lot of that came down to that, to the vocals, because the vocalist kind of sounds like one of the clickers in The Last of Us. But like, the choice that she's made to like kind of be a bit more of a like a stoic presence over such liquid like music, it just works really fucking well. And yeah, I'm really sucked into this album, man. Yeah. It's a really, really cool. I'm so glad that you like were like, right, I'm gonna get onto this band.
We need this.
Cause I'm so glad you did, because this is like, yeah, this has really taken me, because it's just like the music, it's just that jazziness. Like, you hear like there's part, what's the song, Source, where there's parts where like the drummer like flexes the tempo like in and out, and it makes me think, you know, like Elliot from Car Bomb, where he kind of like speeds up and slows down and speeds up and slows down. And like, that's such a difficult thing to do, because most drummers want to be able to play to a click track, but you can't play to a click track if you're like flexing tempos in the middle of riffs and in the middle of bars like that. Like, is it possible to like to set that and program that out? Like, that's mad. And like, it just really, it makes the whole thing so exciting. And I also love in the song Prism, there's this bit where they get this like proper, almost like fucking 70s prog rock guitar solo, yeah, come out, and it's so fucking cool. Like, it made me think of like, there's parts in like Periphery songs where Mark Holcomb does a solo, and Mark Holcomb just has that, he must be like a big Rush fan or something, like he just comes from that, he just comes at guitar solos in this really weird way, and Anachronism are doing a very similar thing, and it's really exciting, and it just kind of takes you off guard so hard when you're in the middle of this like dirge of dissonant mental riffs, and then someone just comes out, and you're like, whoa, what the hello, what is going on there? Like, it's incredible the way that it just catches you off guard, and it will catch you off guard every time you listen to it. Like, it doesn't matter that I've just told you it's there, you're gonna get caught off guard by it when you listen to it. Like, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, mate, this record's fucking fantastic. Yeah, Meanders, mate, huge record.
Yeah, Macrocosm, which is for the most part like an instrumental song. Like, I think there's vocals in like the last 30 seconds of the song.
Yeah, it's just a real sort of display of their mastery, yeah, of like it, dissonance and the melody, and it's like, it's just a joy to listen to. Like, it's always absolutely...
you know like when you see like a wedding band, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David, whatever his name is, on guitar, and he goes, does a little solo, and they're like, whoever it is on keyboards, and he's like, do. Like, it's always got a bit of that kind of vibe about it, but like in the like the most horrible setting you've ever heard. Like, it's brilliant. And yeah, and there's so much cool stuff going on this record, and you've got to like sit down and listen to it five times to like catch even half of it, which, considering it's like a 30 minute album made of like 3 minute songs, you wouldn't ever think that it's got as much depth to it as something like, you know, like I'm thinking of like what did we Avatern last year was our like,
yes,
dissonant death metal album of the year. And that's like really brooding, and they put a lot of emphasis on atmosphere, and you know, but this is, They don't do that anywhere near as much on this, but there's so much depth. There's so many layers to what's going on this album. Like, yeah, this... I'm really, really glad that you brought this in last minute, son, because this is fucking wicked, mate. Absolutely wicked.
Massive. Such a cool... Mate, what a fucking great week for records. There's so much goodness. It's only like a couple of... We're just about to pop over into February in a couple of days, and... Flying out the traps,
mate. Already,
there's an EP of the year on the board. You know,
the EP to beat is up on the board. I think the post metal album is up on the board. Like, now we've got the Dissonant Death Metal album up on the board. Like, there's so much, there's so much stuff that I've pinned to my like albums of 2023 already, and it's fucking January. It's mad. It's absolutely mad. But yeah, that album is called Meanders, and the band are called Anachronism. That comes out on Friday. Make sure you give that a listen if you like dissonant stuff.
Yeah.
Do you want me to explain what dissonance is again, or did you get it from the first lesson? Good.
You're all right. Mate, next week we've got some fucking really cool stuff, guys. You're probably completely aware, but there's a Sanguisugabog record. And
there might just be a little bit of a record by a band called Sanguisugabog to talk about next week. And it might just be absolutely brilliant.
It might be fucking completely... It might be another in the long line of Gary eats his hat about a band.
God, it's just as well that I'm a bald bloke who's got lots of hats, because I have to eat them all the time. I just want to like eat some actual food for a change, but I'm always full. I'm always full of hats.
Also, before we record next week, we're gonna go and see. We're gonna go see the bloody Acacia Strain on Saturday night.
We'll have a couple of shows to talk about.
I can't believe it. We're finally going to see the Strain again, Gary. Doesn't it really feel like the world? I think the world is fully back on its axis once we've perceived the Acacia Strain again. And like,
which is ironic because they're heavy enough to knock the world off of its axis. And actually, they're so heavy that they knocked it back onto its axis. Yeah. I am in the beginning when you asked me what I've been up to, and I said nothing. That was a lie, wasn't it? Because I went to a show on Sunday.
Oh yeah, you went to see the Sleepy Tokens, didn't you?
I went to see the Sleepy Tokens, Vessel and his Sleepy Tokens. I won't do a full review. First thing I will say, North Lane. I couldn't believe they played Quantum Flux. I was well happy about that. That's off of their like their album Singularity, which is before Marcus was in the band. It's a fucking brilliant. It's one of the best sort of like gen-y sort of tech metal records going, man. It's incredible, and they played a song off it, which blew my mind.
Nice, man.
That was really cool. But then a lot of the stuff that they do now is basically dance music with guitars. Like, it's very strange. It's very strange, the direction that they've moved into. Like, I mean, fair play. A lot of people... I mean, the place was sold out. It was at the Hammersmith Apollo, which is slightly smaller than Brixton Academy, which is where it was obviously meant to first happen before everything that went down. But it was, like, sold out as sold out can be. And I tell you what, people are losing their fucking shit over Sleep Token. People are absolutely, you know, there's like security guards fucking everywhere trying to like stop people getting so carried away. You know, they're taking people out of the venue who've like fainted and shit. It was absolute, it was absolute chaos. I also, like, this is definitely a good thing. It was like the most sort of like balanced mix of genders in a like a metal show I've ever been to, I think, like in my entire life. And there was this like phenomenon which I found really bizarre. Nick thought it was hilarious, which is where whenever Vessel went on one of his like Christina Aguilera runs, everyone in the crowd would go woo, like everyone would, like, get really into it whenever he's kind of like doing all of his like falsetto, like you know the stuff I'm talking about. Everyone in the room would just be going mad. But yeah, it was a bloody great show. And usually, like most the other times I've been to see him, we're in like the disabled viewing area, which is like off to one side, and it's almost always the right side. So I've always got the guitarist directly in front of me. But this time, the accessible viewing area was a bit further to the back, and you had like a full view of the whole band. And we were on the bassist side, and I've got to say, the bassist of Sleep Token has got one of the best live presences of anybody I've ever watched in a band ever. It's just brilliant. Really? There must be something about having that mask on that just makes you feel really like free.
You must feel
like
the absolute bollocks.
Yeah, isn't it? It just makes you kind of feel like you can do whatever you fucking want because no one knows who you are. And you can just, you know, you're never going to feel self-conscious in any way because you've got a mask on. And he's just like, he's just lost in the music and it's incredible to watch. It's so cool. Yeah, it was a really good show.
Ah, lovely. I'm glad you had a good time, mate. Fucking righteous.
Yeah, oh, and those new songs pop off live. They played The Summon in like second and it fucking goes live, man. Really bangs.
Mate, that's fucking lovely. Yeah, we're going to go watch The Acacia Strain on Saturday and then we're going to go and watch Undeath and Celestial Sanctuary. It's going to be fucking amazing.
Oh, yeah. The podcast will be a day late, won't it? Because we're going to Undeath on the Wednesday, so we're recording Thursday, so the podcast will have to go up Friday, so...
The podcast will have to wait, Gary.
Yes.
So next week's episode will probably be up Friday morning, if we can sort it out. If not, it might be up on Saturday. You never know. We don't know.
We don't know. Whatever, you know. We play fast.
Things might happen. Gary might get crowd killed. He might get killed by a crowd. You don't know.
I might get turned into a human chandelier. You just don't know what's going to go down. But what
you never
know.
He might get trapped within the rank membrane and never come back.
And I never come back. And that's it. That's just where I live from now on. If you need me, you're going to have to forward my post to the rank membrane. What am I on about? I'm looking forward to both those shows, man. I'm looking forward to seeing The Australian. And I'm also really looking forward to seeing Unity TX. I think that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a bloody good week, Gary, I tell you.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, we've got a really good episode of... We've just got a fantastic lineup of riffs to talk about next week. So next week's going to be a great podcast, guys. Come back on down. Why not?
Come and join us. Come and join us in all the usual places. Join the Discord. Come and have a chat.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying
Get down the Discord.
I'm really enjoying the Discord. I'm glad that you...
Oh, yeah. I thought it was going to be a good idea.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that. It's great.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice having the little bits and it's got that sort of like old school message board vibe, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all used to love a good message board, Gary. I used to be just floating around the Despair Faction message board back in the day. Many different boards throughout my life. And there's a lot of younger like homies that might not have really had the interactions that we did with message boards. Like I think there could be a gap of people that sort of the younger crop that really had messengers.
That's what you're basically doing right now. We didn't have apps called Discord. We had to talk to each other on message boards. But
there might have been 4chan people. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Anyway.
You never know.
Anyway, it's lovely. Come on down to the old Facebook group or the old Discord. Just get involved. We'll be back next week talking about riffs. And then we'll be back most weeks talking about more riffs. All right. Good.